It's Friday. And you know what that means. Off the Rails Friday. Nick Kiprios, Justin Bourne, Sammy McGee, Derek Brandale, who reminded me it was Friday. Seconds before the show.
You usually think it's Friday by Wednesday.
Yeah, which is way more feedback than I get from our producer, Sammy McGee.
What do you mean?
Well, he's just...
Derek's looking after me.
Oh, I have to tell you it's Friday?
Yes, on occasion you do.
I don't think it's unreasonable to suggest to Kipper the day of the week every day.
Ladies and gentlemen, weekend.
I give Sammy full credit because he made a slight adjustment to our program today because on top of a regular appearance from Doug McClain, which we thought for a second we lost him to nine holes on the golf course.
That's how much he cares about our show.
But then when he tells me he's golfing on a Friday and he might miss our show, the first thing I do is I look at the weather.
Yeah.
And it's pissing in Florida right now.
No chance he's playing golf. So
he ain't playing. It got canceled, which means he's coming on the show.
Good.
So he'll be in a great move. I mean, I would kill for some warm rain right now compared to the weather in Toronto. If you're listening in Toronto today,
we're sorry.
You know.
So we got Doug McClain on the top of the hour in our national edition of our show. We're also going to try to track down Zach Hyman. You remember him? He used to play for the Toronto Maple Leafs.
Zach Hyman.
Yeah, does it ring a bell at all? Nothing yet?
The forechecking forward, the grinder?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dumped it in a lot, didn't do much otherwise.
He's been dumping it over the line a lot this year.
48 times.
He sure has. We're going to try to track him down. He's coming in off a flight, but there's also some thought that he's going to meet up with Elliot Friedman and Jeff Merrick for 32 Thoughts. But if you are looking for something deeper, then...
Hey, Zach, what's your favorite color?
Oh, my God, you're rude.
Just wait
no
for...
No comment.
Wait for Zach on our show. We'll hunt him down.
We're going to ask him deep, hard-hitting questions?
Hard.
Oh, wow.
Hard.
Cool.
We'll leave the rest of them to 32 Thoughts.
All right. Can't wait to find out how this goes.
Scored his 48th last night.
47th and 48th.
Yeah, sorry. Well, I mean, he did score his 48th.
Yes, he did. You're not wrong.
Yeah, has a chance to score 50 goals in Toronto.
And more. In Toronto. It's going to happen. He also has had like 6 disallowed goals this year.
So he got off to a slow start last night, and then they just kicked it right up.
Yeah, ended up being with 8-3.
See ya, Buffalo.
Connor Brown with a goal and an assist in the final 2 minutes of a 5-goal lead or something there.
I know that Kipper hates this, and it's even worse because it's not even a Leaf-related thing in the Leaf Hour, but the Oilers jerseys, stop wearing those.
Oh, I know. The navy and neon
awful.
Orange.
Your home blue and orange jerseys are some of the nicest in the league, and you wear those Chicago Bear-looking jerseys. They're awful. Stop wearing them.
Yeah.
You want to tell Zach that?
Sure.
Okay.
If you give me the opportunity, and he'll be like, well, obviously I love playing and wearing those colors. But he'll say he's a good guy.
He's not Tavares.
No.
He's got a bit more than Tavares.
Yeah. Leafs getting a practice in today to face those Oilers tomorrow night. And
give me the updates. What are the scoops?
No Mitch Marner. And I kind of had the thought that they were saving him this week for this big game, but they want to be careful.
Yeah, I appreciate that. You know, like as a... Listen, I'm not going to make any bones about it. I want the Leafs to win. I want the Leafs to do well. It's, you know, we follow this team closely. It's a lot more fun when they succeed. I don't need Mitch Marner this weekend as much as I need Mitch Marner to play well in 3 weeks.
Just cut the crap. Our show needs this.
Yes.
We don't care about anything else. We're being selfish here.
Fine. Whatever the reasons are, I want them to win. And so I don't want them to play this weekend.
It's an easier show when they win.
Yes, considerably.
Come on. That is not true.
It is 100% true.
No, me to come in here and argue and be mean to people and whatever.
It's good when they win a lot because we don't want to just be doing a show about the 2015 Leafs, but... Few losses doesn't hurt the show.
I mean, along the 82 game circuit,
you need a couple.
A very simple question. Okay, when is our show better? When they win or when they lose? Who?
Go ahead and text us at 595.
Where is the audience attention?
Yeah,
or their the reasoning to tune into our show is it when they win or when they lose?
At least this year, if they lose, they can't go watch the Raptors because they stink.
Oh, my God. Hey, Jays. Yeah, it's Jays time.
Hey, are the Jays going to be much better?
No, maybe not. But, yeah, I think I do. Okay, just to go inside baseball here and talk about the mechanics of how sports talk radio works.
Off the rails.
Okay, tell us there.
But I do think that the Toronto Maple Leafs, as presently constituted, are the absolutely perfect sports talk radio team. A team that has a ton of stars that sometimes underachieve and have underachieved in the past and nobody really has any real expectations of. So I think it's a fun team to talk about.
As long as they start winning now in the playoffs. I agree. Over the season has been great, but we need rounds, brother. We need playoff rounds.
We do.
We talked about a round one win on Leafs Talk last year. Like 60,000 people were listening. And it's like, okay.
I don't think. Okay.
All right.
Okay, let's get to our first Kippers Clipper. Is it off the rails already?
And yes, Doug's, like, we're way still off the rails.
45 minutes away still. Let's go to Sheldon Keefe on his thoughts of having no Mitch Marner.
He is progressing. He's skated the last few days. So that's progress for sure. I think the plan's for him to take tomorrow off again and then get back to it. But he's skating, and he was out there for a good bit today before practice. So he's making progress, but not available this weekend.
The bottom line is have him ready a month from now.
I think it's one of those things that, like, tell me when he's ready and then we're going to give him an extra week. You know, like one of those, let's just really be sure.
I think there's three to four to five sports science guys that are really, really earning their paycheck right now.
Well, let me say this, and I think I've said it before, but if your job is sports science, medical, whatever, and a guy comes back too late, so he's extra healthy, nothing happens. Yep. If it's a day early and he gets hurt, you're fired.
Oh, yeah, you're done.
They are not incentivized.
The cooks are in the kitchen right now being like, let's sit a little longer.
Yes.
I would be scared too for my job security.
Mitch Marner?
If he comes back and re-aggravates it or re-injures it, now you're completely flirting with losing him in the playoffs.
Yes. I mean, you're very likely to. Right now, it's a month. So my best guess is we are under a month till playoffs. I'm gonna say it starts 4 weeks from now, something like that. Maybe 4 weeks in a day.
Now, if they're going to go to the length that they're going now, where they miss, he misses tomorrow night versus one of the hottest teams in hockey in the Edmonton Oilers, I'd be hard pressed to play him 24 hours later.
No, he's got what's the point?
Carolina.
He just said in that clip he's not playing this weekend.
He's not in that game. Okay,
no, gone all right. Weekend.
So the focus is Tuesday then. Okay, I thought maybe there was a chance. Yeah. Okay, all right.
Devils Tuesday. Well,
go ahead. Yeah. So Tuesday, Thursday.
Yeah, New Jersey Devils, Washington Capitals in Toronto this upcoming week. So
yeah, that makes sense.
I'm just looking at.
You gotta watch the Capitals again.
I'm looking at text line here. A lot of people saying the show is better when they lose.
Well, there's more fire. There's definitely more fire.
I would say 85% of the texts are saying it's better when they lose.
But they'd still rather them win, so.
Yeah, it's a funny thing.
Because they know how they're going to act when they lose. To remember a quote from my good friend Brian Leach, seconds after we won the cup on the ice, it was like, okay, what do we do now?
Mm-hmm.
And Brian Lee says, I don't know. Let's go ask Mess. Because you just don't know how to react. You just don't know.
What do I do with my hands?
So it's like Leaf fans now. If they win in the playoffs, it's like, okay, what do we do now?
One of the great jokes in the station from longtime host Roger Lajoie was that the Leafs win the cup and he'd be doing a call-in show the next day and they'd be like, well, what are we going to do about the fourth line next year?
Yeah.
Like, just habit.
It's so true. It's like,
that's
what do you do?
That's an old newspaper. They can write a Pulitzer-winning article. What are you writing tomorrow? You know?
Mitch Marner isn't the only one out. TJ Brody will miss a second consecutive start from a coach's decision. Let's go to Sheldon Keefe on clip number two on TJ.
Rhodes is a better player than he's played, and he's also played better hockey than it perceives or than the perception might be. You know, it's a guy that's taken on the hardest minutes and hardest matchups of anybody on our team, and has got, you know, plus minus is what it is, but it's when you've got the hardest matchups and you're still finding ways to be on the positive side, you're doing lots of good things there. But I think we and he acknowledge that he could be better, and we need him at his best. So, you know, if we have to take a step back for in order for that to be the case, then that's what we'll do, and that's where we're at right now.
What would you like to say?
That was good. You know, like a lot of truth in that, but also a lot of like, hey, this is a guy we need. You know, he's been put in tough positions. We know we can be better, and we need him. We need him.
So what you're saying is un-Tortorella.
Oh, yeah.
Very un-Tortorella.
Couturier did not get that support. So, that's true.
Wouldn't it have been hilarious if he just said, I'm not talking about TJ Brody?
Yeah, not talking about TJ. It's between me and TJ.
And send out Guy Boucher.
I forgot he's existing. We haven't heard from him all year.
Play the second clip through there, the Keith clip 3. And he goes even further detail on what, because he got asked what do you want to see from him.
Yes.
And that's what, didn't they ask that exact question to Torts? Mm-hmm. And he said, basically, it's like, it's between me and Sean or whatever. But so listen to what he said here.
Yeah, that's a big part of it. That's the mental part of it. He said a tough go here right from the beginning of training camp all the way through. And because of the demands that we put on him, he hasn't really had time to breathe and regroup and find himself. And I think that's kind of where we're at. We've added some defensive depth here, obviously, at the trade deadline. And we're in a different position as a team than we were. So we get a chance, as I said, to really help Rhodes and the mental part of it. I think we're hoping re-energizes him, and with that comes an extra step. And you know, when you have an extra step, all of a sudden the puck moves quicker. All of a sudden you're defending less. And all these sorts of things start to fall into place. But you know, the most important thing right now for us is just to, you know, give him the time that he needs to get back to being himself, because, like as I say, he's a very, very important piece of our team. When he's at his best, he's as good a defender as we have and reliable and consistent a guy as we have. So we got to get him to that.
Wow.
I get it. It's kind of daunting when you look at past Riley and McCabe that your next two pairs are Benoit, Timmins, and Edmondson and Liljegren, and Labushkin's on the outside looking in right now, but
yeah, he's coming back from being sick, so I think he's probably going to take tomorrow night off as well, and then
is
maybe
he still.
Yeah, it was his first time back on the ice since the Carolina game, so
yeah,
he's been fighting it, mm-hmm. So he's going to miss tomorrow too.
Brody's supposed to be a little bit of a buffer between Riley and McCabe and your next pair.
Yeah, for sure. Mm. It's just, you know, I don't think a lot of the off-ice stuff, too. Like, Brody lost a family member this year, if I'm not mistaken. Like, it's been a challenge in a number of ways, I think, for him this season. So,
yeah, that's the human side of it for sure.
You know, yeah, that's relevant. So get him back in a spot where he's feeling better about things. I like the idea of, like, him and Edmondson or someone else that can kind of help him out a little bit, because he has eaten the brunt of it. And Keith points out his plus-minus. That was interesting. He wants us to go look that up. It is the best among Leafs D.
Yeah,
this year,
I was
despite
surprised by that.
Yeah,
I think we've been, you know, appropriately hard on Keith over the season for sure. And you know, it's the I guess the being a radio show that talks about the Leafs every day, you're going to talk about the coach. We'd listen to his clips, but I will give him credit for how he's handling this. Yeah. You know, this is a guy that's one of the, you know, he's been with this team, was this his fourth year, right? He signed a 4-year contract. It's the final year. He's been with this team of four years. He's been one of your best guys. And he's clearly fighting it. He takes him out of the lineup. He gives detailed answers on why. Talks about how he still thinks he's a great player for the team. Like, to me, if you're going to scratch a core member of a team, this is kind of how you handle it. Mm-hmm. And I think he's doing a good job of it. I have to give him credit.
Yeah. It's opposite.
But you got to remember, too,
I'm not conversing with you.
I'm not debating with you. I'm not conversing with you.
He also has developed his coaching through Kyle Dubas, who's been that guy, that it's kinder, it's gentler, it's like I said, it's unlike Tortorella.
Yes, right. That is the way they go about things is different than Torts.
Much different.
Yeah.
And we can also sit here and debate sometimes where that line is and how Is it too soft? Is it too coddling? Is it too warm blanket around you? Or sometimes tougher love is in order sometimes.
You know what I think the most important thing is? And, you know, we can disagree on whether you should be harder or kinder or whatever the heck it is. It's just authenticity. You know, you just can't pretend to be a hard guy when you're not. You can't pretend to be, you know, the opposite either. It's so if all of a sudden Torts was, you know, telling us that he just wants everyone to do their best, we'd be like, I'm sorry? Like, that's not who you are.
Yeah, it is a good point where he's just like, maybe you don't expect him to explain it about why. Yeah. So maybe it's stupid to get bent out of shape about it. But just when you hear, I just think it's very fascinating that literally like a day later, we get the coach of the Leafs taking the exact opposite sort of tact compared to what Torts did with
Couturier. Someone who's arguably less important. Yeah. Not to say he's not important.
Yeah. Anyways.
And that's the like the beauty of coaching is that
you can do it a bunch of different ways.
You can do it a bunch of different ways. You find out that break point and you're judged by the results at the end of the day. So
for sure,
we'll see how this thing plays out in the coming days or weeks for TJ Brody.
Two things I want to talk about. One of them is like the third line is presently constructed. They put Robertson down on the fourth line. Robertson stunk the other night, I thought.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
And so he's on a fourth line with Holmberg and Reeves right now. Dewar, I know.
What is that?
I don't know. It's a Franken line. And then Dewar is with Kampf and Gregor as a third line, which is also really. What are your thoughts on Connor Dewar in his, what's it been, five games or something since the deadline?
I don't mind him at all.
He works.
Right? I see a guy that's feisty. I hear his name. He's in plays. He's along the walls.
Yeah.
Penalty kill.
He seems to have a specific role and be content with it.
He's right where we thought he'd be.
Yeah.
In the bottom six, fourth line type of guy that you hope is feeling very comfortable by the first round and providing some energy.
And just those lines, just to note that Bertuzzi was on audit practice because of illness again today. So I would imagine if you were looking at the lines that I put in there, you could picture
Bert's probably there. Robertson's probably out.
McMahon moves down. Bert goes up on the top line or whatever. Yeah. But I think Robertson will probably be out when it's all said and done.
Dewar's interesting. He scored 40 goals, 38 and 36 goals a couple of years in the dub. Yep. Like, you know, I haven't seen any offensive ability out of him at the NHL level, but he does everything else well.
To me, he's a guy that you can picture playing in, you know, responsible minutes for you in a playoff. Like, you're going to put him out there and he'll give you 9-10 solid minutes in a playoff series. That's not going to kill you.
Protect a lead. You're okay with him going over the boards.
Skates hard. He's young. Seems feisty.
Yeah.
Also on the ice just prior to practice, Matt Murray taking shots.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, yeah.
What do you
He's ready to go.
Well, so what does that mean?
It means that he'll get assessed early April. He'll hopefully get medical clearance, and he's right in the mix.
Like he could be an option for the Leafs in playoffs.
He could be an option for the Toronto Maple Leafs.
Yes, you heard it here first. Matt Murray.
He said moving well a long way away. According to Keefe.
You see this like Air Bud style script?
What do you want to say? He's really close here. Now we got four guys that we can pick from.
You've been on the Murray beat early. Like, you definitely know something.
I know he's itching.
There's something that, like, there's certain things that you bring up that I'm just like,
could they
just
get him AHL games so you could have a.
Yes, they can.
I would love to see if, you know, let's say he gets five American League games.
I think it's an automatic. Yeah. That he's going to go play some games for the Toronto Marlies.
I wonder if he could play for them in playoffs.
What's their schedule? Like, do they line up the same as, like, a...
No, but close.
Okay. Yeah. So if he needed to go down there for a conditioning stint in the first 2 weeks of April, would they be playing then, right?
Yeah, they are.
Okay.
And it's not an option that the Leafs could re-sign him for next year.
It's not an option.
It's not an option. Like,
gotcha. It's not an option.
So what you're saying is,
it's an option. Like, he could find himself on a low contract to get himself back in the mix.
I have a contract.
Listen,
like $750 though?
I don't know what that number would be.
PTO?
I bet you though, if he's healthy,
giving him a one way, nobody's.
Oh yeah.
No one in the league's giving him a one-way contract.
I'm not doing this again.
Oh,
yeah. There's no way.
Oh, yeah.
What do you mean you're not doing it?
He's getting a one-way. He's getting a one-way contract next year.
With whom?
I don't know who. But I'm telling you there would be enough interest with what is perceived as a healthy Matt Murray.
6'4", 30-year-old, two-time Stanley Cup champion.
Is he 30 yet?
Not yet, but he will be.
That's a young goalie.
Yeah.
With a ton of experience. Anyways, we'll keep an eye on that storyline as well.
We have one more clip on Matthews and Domi, who are playing together again tomorrow night. So
before we play that, can I ask something?
Yes.
I mean, we're doing a contract thing with Matt Murray, and so on the contract thing, because, you know, we love to do this.
What's it like?
Morgan Riley is playing with Jake McCabe tonight or tomorrow night.
Yes.
And McCabe's been really good. He's become like one of their shutdown guys. He's also scored 7 even strength goals, which, you know, for a D-man, pretty good. He's definitely changed the way the perception of himself. He's coming off a $4 million contract. He has next year.
Yeah.
And then he's eligible to re-sign a deal. What kind of money would Jake McCabe be looking at as a UFA, as a potential?
Oh, gosh, you're a long ways away here.
I don't know. You can sign him next year.
Yeah, you can.
Sign him this summer, couldn't you?
July, you can re-sign him. But, like, if Jake McCabe is averaging 18, 20 minutes from here on in, mm-hmm. and they win a couple of rounds, they get themselves in a conference final, then you're talking about a healthy raise.
Yeah, you know, like, you only need a team to believe in you, and I would be that general manager with Jake McCabe.
Yesterday's price is not today's price.
he's playing 20-35 for the Leafs right now. On the
now,
back end.
If I asked you a question here, and we know where he is on the pecking order for the Toronto Maple Leafs, but if we were talking about a defensive core mm-hmm. that you thought was a legitimate Stanley Cup contender, is he in your top four? Can he play that role?
I could have him in my second pair.
You can have him in your second pair.
Yeah, I agree with you that he's not a first pair Stanley Cup winning.
Preferably playing with a really good right-hand shot on the other side.
Sure.
Which the Leafs have clearly
lacked.
I think
if he can clean up some hiccups.
Yeah.
Sometimes you do see the
he's asked
poor
to do a
decision.
Lot on this team.
Oh, no. Number one is set a physical presence.
Yeah. You know.
And he has. Yeah. I don't mind him at all. I think he's got some edge, some attitude. Go back to Boston and the couple little cross checks into Marchand, which
I loved
and we all loved.
Did you see that video?
I did. The mic'd up with Marchand. Yeah.
Did you see that? I couldn't believe the Bruins willingly tweeted that out.
Marchand
saying,
"You didn't get
it,"
and why not?
Just like I didn't know where it came from.
It was the Bruins official account tweeted it out, and he was like screaming in the ref's face and crying.
I also tweeted him lining up against Marner saying, "You cross check me in the face, you're going to get it. You're going to get it," to Marner.
And then turtle twice in that game.
Is this bad of me now? Because anything I see on the internet, I tend to
think
it's all fake.
No, that's
all of
that's the proper reaction.
You should start from there.
And I watch that, and the first thing is that really true? Does it match up? Did they put his voice in? Like,
no, this is healthy. This is great. Everyone should start from the "this probably isn't real and it needs to be proven to me that it is" standpoint on the internet.
You know, not to age shame anybody here, but like the actual reaction for most people, you know, getting close to your age would be like, "Wow, this is crazy.
100% real."
But the fact that you have that cynicism is very good.
Yeah.
Very good, Kipper.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not calling you old, by the way, buddy.
No, no.
You're spry.
But we've all received a thing or two.
I'm the guy that walks into a restaurant bar and puts myself up against the wall. I have nothing behind me.
I'm the dinosaur.
Nothing behind me.
Don't trust anything.
Anything coming at me, I can see.
This guy's going to the
wall. Dukes up like the Fighting Irish logo.
He's
at
going
all
to
times.
The washroom and checking behind the toilet for the gun. Godfather.
Never be too sure.
Oh, man. Do you want to play the last clip we have about Matthews and Domi playing together again?
Absolutely.
All right, let's do it.
You know, there's parts of their game, not unlike Mitch and Austin, that fit really well. Max looks to make plays and has the ability to make plays. I think anytime something fresh and new, then, you know, it works well and feels good early, and you kind of ride that a little bit. So that's where those guys are at right now. So there's some of that, I think, and then some of it, as I say, is just it's a fit with the chemistry of the group. And, you know, with Mitch and Yarncroc being out, we've felt like we needed more depth and more skill, in particular on the wings. So that's changed how we've approached things with Max. And, you know, this connection that those guys have made, we've benefited from and look to ride that.
Yeah, I think tomorrow night's one of those... Where's this going? And just hearing Sheldon seconds ago say, you know, we're going to try to ride that, or like, let's see what kind of momentum it can keep going. Yeah. Here. Saturday nights, tomorrow night's
a
big night for many ways.
But I do hear a hesitant coach that doesn't want to go ahead and blow that line up. I hear him say, yeah, there's parts of their game that fit really well. Like, which is saying, I'm not talking about the parts that I think don't fit really well. And he says, sometimes when things are new, they seem new and exciting, connect. Like, he seems like, I'm not sure if we did this for a long period of time, it would work for us.
Mm-hmm.
It seems to me the implication there, but that's me with my Coach Dakota ring on, my Sheldon Keefe Dakota ring.
You don't.
Yeah.
Can I ask you guys a quick question about Nyes, who I see in the top line here?
Absolutely.
And I'm sure if Bertuzzi's feeling well enough, he'll slide into that spot and Nyes will move down or whatever. But in that, doing that, Robertson moves out of the lineup. You know,
give him a night.
Why does Nyes, like, Nyes seems to be Teflon as opposed to Robertson, who really comes out of the lineup pretty much at every turn. And I'm not saying that I'm a big fan of Robertson at all. I would say I'm the opposite, in fact. But Nyes, for long stretches of this season, has not been great, and it feels like one guy gets way more rope than the other.
There's a very easy answer.
He's 6'3".
Well, that's part of it. But part of it is, when he's not scoring, he doesn't hurt you. But he's in the right spots. He checks.
I'm not as high on that part.
No?
In his game. No, there's some times when I think things blow up on him. His head's down. Mm-hmm. A couple times I think he can get rocked, which... we saw earlier. So I think it's just a learning experience. I'm leaning towards our boy here, Sammy, on like maybe too much sometimes.
I'd
back
be fine
off
with
a little
with
bit
a scratch
more.
Or two. I would absolutely be fine with that. But I think that in the absence of either guy producing offense, I'll tell you which guy I'd rather have on the ice.
Yeah.
And it's Nyes. Fair. So I would...
I think he has
no opposition.
I'm sure Robertson's sitting there being like,
yeah,
really?
Hey, this guy too. Yeah, he's got eight goals all year. I got 10 and half the games or something.
He has all the makings to be a front line forward, right? Left winger.
Yeah.
But I see a lot of college stuff that he got away with that he can't get away with here.
Absolutely.
A lot of hockey.
Well, listen.
A lot of minutes.
You were asked predominantly to play with one of the best goal scorers in the game right now. And playmakers in Marner, and look at Max. Max is a veteran. He makes better plays than Nyes.
Yep.
And he has a night where he can get four assists playing with a guy like Matthews, whereas Nyes can't do that.
Definitely
he's had
not.
Great. He's had Matthews has had great nights, and he has not been able to ride the coattails or ride with them.
Definitely. Nyes is another guy, and the Leafs have so many of these, is I can see him in his best career season having 30 and 20 for 50 points type of thing. I can see him scoring, but I can't.
I would think that's a disappointment on the buildup of Matthew Nyes. If he turns into a 50-point guy and he doesn't end up like a 70.
It depends to me on how he gets there.
Yeah.
If he starts to figure out that he's a huge guy and starts running guys over and starts being in people's faces like he was when he fought against Pittsburgh,
right,
when they're all fired up.
Tom Wilson's 50 points.
Has he even come close to that?
No.
So what makes you think that he will be that guy if he has a night like that where he fights and everybody gives him all these accolades and says, whoa, that's great. That's exactly what the team needs. And then you spend the next 30 games not looking like that. Do you like his chances of having that type of career now?
No, and I don't think it's right to ask him to be that. If he's not, he's not a fighter. He didn't come here
There's
to
no
be
ask.
That.
When you're that young and you're just breaking in the league and the canvas is completely clean, there's no real ask other than, go.
Contribute.
Go. Be. Discover yourself.
Yes.
Are you a goal scorer? Are you a checker? Are you a tough guy? What are you? Go. let us know by your play.
Yeah.
Like, I think he missed a bit of a window here to turn himself into something. But to your point, if it was never in him to begin with, well, I don't know. I don't know if you were going to still see that power type of guy.
No, and I, you know, it totally, I don't necessarily agree that he missed any kind of window. He's played 60 NHL games now or whatever it is, you know, where he's, to your point, going, figuring it out.
He could have picked a few more spots to drop his gloves and turned himself into a
huge
hero.
If he wants to do that, but he may not want to be that player.
No question he doesn't after witnessing probably the last 30 or 40 games since that moment.
But listen, he's going to score himself 15 goals on the season or something like that. And I can see him. I like the way he is with the puck in terms of puck possession and kind of using his body to hold guys off. I see a 30-goal scorer in this player.
Yeah.
And so if he's that, to Sam's point, who's also net front and physical on the puck and Zach Hyman on the forecheck, you love it. But to your point, if he's just skating around and not involved until he gets his goals like Nick Robertson, it's different. So
Chris Kreider? Can he turn himself into Chris Kreider?
Yeah,
if he's Chris Kreider.
Kreider's so fast. It's I don't know that Nye's
Chris,
that.
Chris Kreider is a
scored 50.
Yeah, he's a huge guy, physical presence. I to me, I don't know.
Kreider's had challenges over his career looking like a world class star, and then some nights it's just not there.
He doesn't have any edge either, right? He's just a big guy who can tip the puck and be in those spots. And so maybe that's nice. You hope he's more physical than that. And hopefully with some confidence, he finds some of what you're talking about. But
yeah,
I don't think he's ever going to drop the gloves a lot.
My expectations for Nyes have definitely shifted.
Yeah.
After seeing, like, from what I was told he is to what I've seen so far, I would say it's a different player than I thought, which is fine.
A year and a half ago,
to your words,
a year and a half ago, he was cowing. He's untouchable. He's going to be a star. He's going to be this. He's going to be that.
Mm-hmm.
Is that fair to say?
Absolutely, bud. I had him in a trade.
Is he a star? No one said he'd be a star.
Oh, yeah.
You yourself had him as a third liner. You on the show said, I see him as a guy who's going to come in and play third line.
No, but I'm talking about the perception. He was built up.
For sure.
As a can't miss, don't even think about trading him.
Definitely. We did trade him on the show a couple times.
Yeah, I traded him for Timo Meier. Let's go to break.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to go to break. We'll welcome in Luke Fox, NHL writer for Sportsnet.ca. Always a fun guest to have on our show. We're back after these words on Off the Rails Friday. Real Kipper and Bourne.
The best Blue Jays show out there, period. Blair and Barker. Be sure to subscribe and download the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, let's get right to it. Luke Fox, NHL writer for Sportsnet.ca. Let's welcome him in. Luke, there's, 14 games left in the Toronto Maple Leaf season, and no Mitch Marner, no TJ Brody, yet there's a vibe led by our boy Sammy here on tomorrow night. He's giddy about this game. But are we going to look back at this game after it's done and reassess the Toronto Maple Leafs to measure up against the Oilers to say whether or not this team has a legit chance of going anywhere in the playoffs or they stink?
Yeah, it's a good point, Nick. I think there is something to it. You're right. It is kind of hard to judge them entirely with no Marner, no Yarncroc, no Brody, who, you know, is going through a couple healthy scratches right now, but we firmly expect to be back in game one. But you look at the schedule, and there's so few games that have a chance to mean something in terms of a measuring stick, in terms of how do they look against a true contender, and this is one of them. You know, they got the Carolina Hurricanes Sunday, but they're going to be tired off of back-to-back. You know, they finished the season in Tampa and Florida, which on paper could be good games, but by that point, we might be into total load management for all the teams involved, because we fully expect the playoff positioning to be locked in by then. So we might see, you know, a lot of superstars sit. This might be one of the last great chances to see how they look against a legit team. The Oilers are coming off a win. They're going to get a night's rest. So, you know, Saturday night, spotlight's on. I expect a good one. And, you know, you think back to some of the big nights Connor has had in Toronto, you know, with fans. It's only once a year. People still talk about the night Kadri shut him down. They still talk about how McDavid put Morgan Rielly on a poster coming over the blue line that one game in Toronto. So
you know
Edmonton's going to bring it, so Toronto better too.
Yeah. The Edmonton Oilers are coming in with the second best power play in the league this year, which is a step down from where they're usually at. The Leafs' penalty kill stinks. How concerned are you? Like, going into playoffs, I looked at the best penalty kills, and it's like the other five top division or top teams in the East, and the Leafs are 24th or something. How worried should fans be and the Leafs be about the quality of their kill?
Yeah, they should be worried.
Yeah.
I think, because we've seen it in the past, right? We've seen them get undone by not having as strong special teams as the team they're facing over a seven-game series. It's done them in the past. So that's probably in the back of fans' mind for sure, the coach's mind for sure, and it might be back in the players' mind. So of all the teams headed to the playoffs, if we were to cut it off and start the postseason tomorrow, the Leafs would have the worst PK of the bunch. And you know management's paying attention because all three guys – depth guys, but all three guys they went out and added at the trade deadline, Dewar, Labushkin, Edmondson, they all kill penalties. So they know, they're aware that this is an area that needs improvement, and we haven't quite seen it yet. And, you know, again, it's like, okay, no Marner, no Yarncroc, but is it going to instantly snap into place when they're at full health? And, you know, the hope is a deep run, and you're not going to have all your penalty killers for four rounds. So it is a point of weakness. And I think it puts even more stress on the power play. That needs to be sharp. It got a goal last game. It's coming around a little bit, but it sagged at the beginning of March too. So, you know, hopefully the penalty kill can be sharper, but the power play needs to pick them up as well.
We're talking to Luke Fox, NHL writer for Sportsnet.ca. So if we set aside the Leafs versus the Oilers, can we kind of bring in Austin Matthews versus McDavid? And they've had some good showings in the past, but right now it's a three-horse race for an MVP with Kucherov, MacKinnon, McDavid, despite Matthews leading the league in goals. So how much is there to gain for Austin Matthews tomorrow night?
Well, I believe the guys that are at the top of the top, the super elite, like to compare themselves to each other. You know, you can't tell me that McDavid didn't want to see if he'd go out and get 60 goals after watching, you know, someone like Austin do it last year, just to see if he could. And now he's, you know, toned it down a little bit, mixed in a few more passes. But I do think the best of the best in all team sports, you know, like to measure themselves up against one another. Now, Austin today was asked about that, and he said, oh, that's more of a fan thing, more of a media thing. You guys blow it up. We see them only twice a year. But I've been in the building for a lot of these games, whether it's out in Edmonton or in Toronto, and there's extra juice in the building. And Noah Gregor was saying today that, you know, we're fans of the game too. We like to see the best of the best go head to head. So there'll be a little something there, but the Stars like to downplay it.
One thing I don't think we heard from Sheldon Keefe on this weekend is what's up with the goaltending situation. Is there any sort of indication about who may play which game?
Yeah, he wasn't asked about that, so we don't have an answer. And I think it's pretty fascinating because I do think it's telling. It's telling that Joseph Woll got both the Boston Bruins games. Now, he lost them both, gave up four in both. So that put him behind the eight ball a little bit. But I think, you know, they tried to couch it around, hey, we're just playing the schedule, we're just playing the calendar. Both guys are going to get work. But the same guy got the team that they're probably going to face in the playoffs. And I think that was a test, a challenge, and it was also maybe tipping their hand of who they thought their number one was at that point. Now, a few games have passed. Samsonov has racked up some wins. So maybe their view has changed a little bit. So I'm very curious to see who gets the start tomorrow, because I think even though Carolina is a legit contender as well, you know, it's the second half of the back-to-back. It's on the road, not at home. I think we're going to know who they're leaning towards a little bit by who gets the tap on the shoulder tomorrow.
All right, Luke, I'm not busting on you because I know you do a terrific job.
Okay.
Why wasn't he asked about the goalies? Like, is that just you guys around the coffee shop going, oh, geez, we forgot to ask that one?
Sometimes that happens. There's a few other storylines going on. But you're right. It should have been asked. me myself, I wasn't there. I'm having some load management.
There you go. That's why it wasn't asked. You know, weren't
funny,
there.
What's funny is that we were literally like, that's not like Luke would ask that.
Yes. Well, Luke would piss him off.
Yes.
I'm TJ Brody right now. I need some mental clarity for the stretch run.
Well, that explains everything. You weren't there to ask the tough question.
That's all we, that actually makes a lot of sense.
When you are at the rink this week, any eyebrows raised on Marner's timeline? And is it more serious than they led on? Is this them just being overly cautious of a guy that they need so badly in the first round?
Yeah, overly cautious. I think that's it. But it is kind of curious. Like, now we're talking, so he's not going to play Saturday or Sunday. So now this is 7 games. And the way they were talking about the ankle injury at the beginning, they made it seem really minor. Mm-hmm. But 7 games seems like a lot. Not even practicing with the team yet. I want to give them the benefit of the doubt and take them for their word, saying they're just being extra cautious. And you look where they are in the standings. There is zero need to rush this guy back. You want him feeling great for game one. So I understand it, but it keeps dragging on. The whole day-to-day from being day-to-day thing is lingering here.
Yeah, that's an absolutely insane comment. It's like, that's not day-to-day at all.
We've never heard that before in our lives.
That's not what that means.
Yeah.
How about the viability of Domi with Matthews? Do you think that's something we could see stick in a playoff round?
I think Marner goes back there. I do once he's healthy. But I'm a little bit confused why it took them so long
to
at least try this. I mean, especially when you look at the first half of the year when Domi's fit was up in the air, Bertuzzi's fit was up in the air. Both those guys were slow to get going. And it's like, outside of Marner, who's your best distributor? Who's your best passer? I think it's Max Domi. He was kind of lingering there on the third line, second line, finally gets his shot, and it's like, bang, it clicks. You know, they combined for 9 points last game, albeit I wasn't thrilled with Washington's defense or its goaltending or anything. It's going to be a different story in the playoffs. But, there's definitely chemistry there. I think when Marner's healthy, Marner gets that spot back. But if, you know, the opposition is shutting them down in a playoff series, Keith now knows he has a great second option. And he knows Matthews Domi work. And part of it is because one wants to shoot first, one wants to pass first. Part of it also is, I think, those guys understand each other. They spend a lot of time off the ice together. They sit at the back of the plane together. They've known each other since Domi was a Coyote, because Matthews trains with a lot of Coyotes in the summer. So there's a relationship there. And I mean, that's a small piece. You still have to have the on-ice chemistry, but they get along. They kind of read each other well. And, they're big fans of one another. And if Matthews likes you, if he likes you on his line, there's a good chance you're going to stay on his line.
Mm-hmm. Well, is there a good chance that he could also re-sign? Like, it didn't seem that long ago we were talking about Max Domi. Where's the fit? To is the narrative now for some, we need to re-sign him?
Well, he's been a great Leaf, right? Like, he's well-liked amongst his teammates. He's been versatile. His attitude's been good, even when he's been slumping or when he's been stuffed down in the bottom six. I was a little bit on the fence with the signing, to be honest, and he's exceeded my expectations in terms of his versatility. We all know his warts in the defensive zone when he doesn't have the puck, but he's a heck of a playmaker. He's one of the fastest guys on the team, and he has one of the best attitudes, and he's definitely a team-first guy. Like, I think the run in Dallas gave him a taste, right, of going deep. He's been on a lot of bad teams over the years. And I think now that he's tasted coming close, he really wants a cup. So I think they should consider it. I don't think there's going to be enough money to bring back Bertuzzi and Domi. But of the two, the fact that one can play center when you need him to, I'd be leaning there.
All right, Luke, we'll let you go. Appreciate your time, especially on your off day.
Yeah, keep up your good work when you get back.
We cannot have the rest of the media asking all these soft questions. This is
need you in there.
This is your last day off, okay?
I'll take a run at him tomorrow morning. Don't worry.
All right, Luke Fox from Sportsnet.ca. So What is Max Domi worth? To resign?
Kipper's favorite. You lit
I
up like
love
a,
this.
You literally lit up like a Christmas tree.
Love it.
The twinkle in your eye is back.
Money, 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 money.
I'd give him the same amount of money for 3 years.
Yeah, that's not happening.
Well, I'm a bad negotiator.
And a bag of chips.
I'm not sure it works.
So he's going to get more than 3 years for a long time? Because then you got to be careful for me.
What's he going to finish with?
I think it's been really, really 40 points? Hard.
Yeah.
40 points. 39. Sorry.
Is he going to finish with 50?
I'm sorry. How many points does he have?
He has 40 points.
40 points.
Yeah.
39, yeah.
Going to finish with
50?
Yeah, I know. But there's others that...
Who's his agent?
I'm harder on him than you guys are. I have liked him a lot lately. Mm-hmm. I struggle to find a fit. When I build lines for this team, I find myself consistently going, if he plays left wing with Matthews and Marner.
But every once in a while, you need a bit of as to Luke's point, you need that utility guy.
For sure.
That can.
I think he's a good player.
That can play both sides. It's depth. It's
competitive.
He can score. He can power play. He can.
Can't score. But yes, he can create offense.
Make plays.
Yes. He can rip it.
Make plays.
Yeah, he can. He can. He can absolutely rip it.
He needs 14
seconds to get it off, but he can absolutely rip it. I just think it's a big risk to do any sort of term. And here's what I think, Kip. I think he is good enough that someone should give him term and money. I just don't know if it's Toronto.
To your point, it's everybody's getting a raise around him.
What about 1 year at $4 million?
He's not going to want to sign
sure.
1 year.
Nor should he.
But didn't he come here and say that he was, because he's talking about, I guess it's talk is cheap in the offseason when after you sign a contract, but, you know, he's played on all these teams and he wants to find a home and he's come here.
29 years old.
Looking for his last.
This will be his last big contract if he can get one.
And he loves being a Leaf, right? And I think that's endearing too.
And he's played for half a dozen teams. All one-year deals do is leave you exposed to go find another team. So he's going to be looking for 3, 4, 5 years next year at a bump up of $3 million. I don't think there's a long way to go before that happens. Mm-hmm. And let's see how the rest of the season plays out. Let's see what kind of success he can have in the playoffs, which lately has shown that he can contribute in big games in the playoffs too.
Yep.
So there is value there.
Yep.
And I think it's a value at a raise. How much of a raise is up to him and how he conducts himself from here on in.
If you had to pick between him and Bertuzzi to re-sign, which one would you go?
It's not close for me.
Bertuzzi?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I like Max because I think Max is something that also, and Luke touched on this, the attitude. He gives them a little bit of a strut.
Yep.
You listen to his
I like
his
social media presence. I like that he likes...
It's inclusive. You know, never... It's we.
He's a good guy.
It's a we. It's not a me. It's not an I. It's we. And that's obviously a hockey background.
Nothing. And, and as a Leaf fan is why I am on this show. Mm-hmm. My passion detector is... It goes... It's off the charts with him.
Yeah. Oh, he...
Guy cares
loves
and loves being a Leaf. And you can tell. And by the guys he went after this year, including... Gudas, Bennett,
Marchand. Yeah.
He gets it.
He does. He gets it.
Some attitude, baby.
Yeah.
But I'm not giving him any more than $3 million for 1 year.
3x3, let's go.
3x3 would be ideal, but he's not doing that, right, Kippy?
Let's see how it finishes.
Okay.
Maybe it's more.
If you're his agent, what are you asking for? If they went to him right now and they're like, we want to do a contract, you're his agent, which I know that's what you wanted, would love to do. What would you ask for?
I'd be up around 4.
For how long?
Minimum 3 years. I think he'd look at $11 to $12 million for 3 years.
Okay.
Right? 50-point guy.
Elevated we'll table salary
it.
Cap.
We'll table it and talk about it on Leafs Talk on Monday. Or at least our money.
I think I'd do it.
Okay. Really? Our thanks to Luke Fox. And when we return the top of the hour, we lead it off with Doug McClain. Didn't get his golf in. He's going to be crusty. It's raining down there. We'll get his thoughts on Tortorella. And also Zach Hyman. We're going to try to track down the soon-to-be 50-goal scorer for the Edmonton Oilers. Plenty more. Real Kipper and Bourne, so do not go away.